If you have your Bibles, would you consider with me several passages? I'm going to simply read as an introduction the passage from Psalm 78, verses 40 through 42. Psalm 78, verses 40 through 42. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. And again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. In other translations, that word pain is translated frustrated God, vexed God, provoked God, and in the New Living King James, in the New King James, the word is limited God, the Holy One of Israel. I want to talk today about limiting the Lord. We who are here, who believe in our God, know him to be a limitless God, one who is omnipotent, who has all power. In our modern language today, we often hear, we serve a God who can do anything except faith. But I want to suggest to you today that there are times and situations in the scriptures where persons have limited the Lord, and that we too can be guilty of the same predicament of doing those things that would limit what God would want to do in and through our lives. This passage in Psalms is really a retelling of the history of God's chosen people. God has guided them through thick and thin. God has blessed them over all kinds of trials and tribulations. But in spite of all that God has done, we continue to see their unfaithfulness. And as a result of their unfaithfulness, as a result of their disobedience, often what God could have done, what God would have done, has not occurred. And I suggest to you that there are those here today that God wants to speak to, because you are limiting what God wants to do in your life. He's already made provisions. He's already made the way for you. But you are the barrier that's keeping God from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in your life, yes, and even in my life. Let me do a proof text. They tell me they love me here at Southern Seminary, but they put one preaching professor, Dr. Akins, in front of me. They put Dr. York behind me, so I think that means something to me about what I need to do to get this thing right. So you pray for me today. Amen. If you look with me, I'm going to do a little proof text, and I'm going to break all the rules, Dr. Cox, of preaching. I'm going to do a little proof texting, if you allow me, but I believe we are true to the text. If you look at the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, a very familiar story to many of us, we're talking about limiting the Lord. But let me tell you, when you trust God, God can bless in a mighty, mighty way. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the first 7 verses, and there is a story of a woman whose husband has died. She goes to the prophet Elisha and says, "My husband is dead, and he served you, feared you, and served you, and a creditor has come to take my 2 sons, my 2 children, to be his slaves." And the prophet of God, and let me say here that we need to listen to the persons who speak for God. And the prophet of God tells her I want to know, what do you have in your house? And she remarks that she has only a jar of oil. And he says to her, verse 3 of 2 Kings, then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out on all of these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind him and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came about when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Remember, we're talking about limiting God. Well, maybe letting God loose so that he is not limited. Here we have a wonderful illustration of what God can do when we listen to the person of God, and what God will not do when we don't listen to the person of God. In this story, we see a situation where the prophet of God gives specific instructions. He tells the woman, please look at the scripture carefully, go borrow vessels, verse 3, and he doesn't say from a few of your neighbors, but the word there emphatically is all your neighbors. If even empty vessels, do not get a few. See, the problem with many of us is that we hear what God says, but we do what we want. And sometimes a prophet of God speaks to us very clearly, very plainly, but we decide that God is only going to do so much, so we will only do so much. And here we see that the sons went out and got vessels. They returned with these empty vessels from all the neighbors. And from one pot or jar of oil, the word said that as long as there were empty vessels, the oil continued to flow. It was not until there were no more vessels that the oil stopped flowing. And I want you to understand that when you do it God's way, when you listen to God's instruction from God's person, you can see God is not limited. He can bless us in a mighty way. Verse 7 says, when the man of God came, he said, now, let me tell you how God has blessed you. You not only have enough to pay your debt. He said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt. Now, some people are satisfied just having their debts paid. Some people glory in the God of our Lord, of our Savior, because they have their debts paid. But I tell you, that's limiting God. If all you want is to have your debts paid, you're not doing all that God wants you to do. Because you see in this passage, not only were her debts paid, but after that, there was so much because they went to all of the neighbors and got all of the vessels they could acquire. They had enough to pay their debts, and then you and your sons can have the rest to live on. You understand, God wants you to not only pay your debts, he wants you to have an inheritance, something that you can even pass down to your children. Too many people in our world today are content with just getting by. But I want you to know I serve a big God. I serve a mighty God who wants you to have more than just your debts paid. He wants us to leave an inheritance to our children. Oh, you don't believe me? Go with me to the New Testament, if you will. If you go to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 14 and the verses 22 to 31. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 31. I'm going to preach like I do at First Gethsemane. Is that all right? All right. Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 31. Here's the story. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. Jesus here is the person we're speaking of. And to go ahead of him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many strata away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were frightened, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Remember, we're talking about limiting God. When I looked at this passage, I have a lot of passages that bother me, especially when I get to a line that just doesn't make sense to me. It bothered me that here is Peter, who asked the Lord, seeing him come in the midst of the storm, asked the Lord to allow him to walk on the water to come to him. Well, I would have understood if that had not happened. But Peter actually walked on the water. So it bothered me that the Lord would say, "O thou of little faith." Because I would suggest to you that if we poured water in this sanctuary today, and somebody walked on that water, even for a few steps, not many of us would say that that is a person of little faith. Amen, lights. So what that means is that most of us in here, many of us who consider ourselves people of faith, I ask you, how many of you have walked on water lately? And so I said, now there must be something in this, "O thou of little faith." Well, as I studied that, I found out that probably a better understanding of "O thou of little faith" is that Peter did have faith. He just simply had a short burst of faith. And the word for doubt is the word literally that means to double up. So here is Peter, who sees the Lord coming to him in the midst of the storm. He sees the Lord, and the Lord said, "Come." And Peter, with faith, steps out on the water, and he does walk. That's what my Bible said, and I believe it. He walked toward Jesus. But when he began to see the storms around him, his little faith that he had for a few moments began to wane. He doubled up, and when he doubled up, he took his eyes off of the Lord, and he began to sink. Let me tell you, that's our problem. Many of us, we had all kinds of faith to come to Southern Seminary, but when the first month's bills came, we lost our faith. When the situations and storms of life have come our way, some of us who had so much faith, we left everything to follow Jesus because he said, "Come." But when we start seeing all of the waves and the winds in our path, some got a little shaky along the way, and they have been sinking. The good news is Jesus is right here with his hand outstretched, saying, "I'll grab you, I'll pick you up, and I'll hold on you to you if you don't limit me and what I want to do for you." Oh, well, we got more time. Let's go on to Luke. Let's go to Luke. I know it's not in your text, but go to Luke chapter 5 for me. Some of you still don't believe what we're trying to prove to you here. Luke chapter 5, let's look at the first 8 verses. Luke chapter 5, look at the first 8 verses. We're talking about limiting the Lord. Luke 5, 1 through 8. Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing about him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and they were washing their nets. They got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began to teach the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets." Now, I'm an old King James guy, and I know that's kind of taboo around here. But in the old King James, it says net. It doesn't have the S on it. Now, I'm going to have to work with some of my New Testament scholars on this. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their net, or depending on which translation, net, began to break. And they signaled to their partner in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, it appears in first reading, at least to me, that Simon has been obedient unto the Lord. It appeared in first reading that when the Lord told him, even though he was an experienced fisherman, had fished at night when you're supposed to catch the fish, it appeared that when the Lord told him, "Go on out and cast your net," that he was obedient unto the Lord. But I've come to understand that you can be obedient unto the Lord, but not really expect anything from the Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me make this plain. See, some people simply do what they are told to do, but they don't believe anything's going to happen as a result of doing what God has told them to do. See, God wants us to have a spirit of expectancy. Obey him, but expect great things from him. And I really believe that one of the reasons Peter has to say, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord," is that he obeyed the Lord, but really didn't expect the Lord to do anything like what happened in this situation. But let me tell you, there is still a limiting of the Lord here. Look with me, if you will. If you accept the King James, the New King James, it works, the formula works anyway, okay? If you accept the fact that when Simon Peter went out, Jesus told him to go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Peter went out and let down his net for a catch. Now, even if it was nets, that's okay. The truth of the matter is, this is what happened. The net or nets began to break. And so we are amazed when we look at this passage at how many fish were caught. But let me tell you, I'm worried about how many fish got away. I'm wondering how many fish got through that broken net, that if he had really believed God, he would have taken the second boat when he went the first time. He would have taken every net he had, because God wanted him to do more than fill his net one time. God wanted to bless him abundantly. See, in many of our lives, God said, "Cast your nets," and we threw out a little hook and line. God said, "I'm ready to bless you mightily," but we don't expect God to do wondrous things in our lives. I got 2 minutes. This is the word for the students at Southern Seminary. It didn't come till this morning as I was praying over this passage, and I didn't know if I'm going to have time to say it, but I think I need to say a word to the students here. I believe this is a word for you. I believe that many of you have limited what God wants to do in your life. And one of the reasons that God is not blessing you more mightily than you are is because some of you are operating in disobedience. I used to teach formations classes here, and it bothered me when we would meet with students who had not found a local church. They were here in seminary, but not really involved in a local church. They were sort of like Charles Stanley's book, Confronting Casual Christianity. They were just casual with their walk with the Lord. They just bopped from church to church. And the real problem was that they didn't give anything unto the Lord. They got here and they're not making the income they used to make on the jobs they had before coming to seminary. And so although they were tithers and although they were giving unto the Lord, since you've come to seminary, you have not trusted God to take care of your needs.
and you've been holding back from God. You have not allowed yourself to be immersed in a local congregation, and you have not trusted God by returning your tithe and giving offerings unto the Lord. I know that's a word for somebody in the house today. And God is saying, if you want God to bless you, you've got to trust God even in seminary. You've got to give your all even in seminary. You've got to trust God to provide your every need even in seminary. And I'm challenging the students today to go on and return your tithe and give offerings unto the Lord. Sound like a pastor, don't I? But that's what God is saying unto the students here today. Some of you think that you can't give, but God said, when you return the tithe and give offerings, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, the floodgates, and I'm going to pour out such a blessing, you won't have room enough to receive it. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the curse off of you. Some of you are cursed because you're not giving to God. Some of you are not blessed because you're not doing all that God wants to do. If you trust God, let me tell you, he'll give you some empty vessels to fill up. If you trust God, I tell you, he'll let you walk on some water. If you trust God, he'll fill your nets. And he won't have to say, I grieved for them when they went through the seminary wilderness experience. Again and again, they tested me, and they frustrated me, and they pained me, and they vexed me, the Holy One of Israel. God is saying, don't limit me any longer.